From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the May 18 edition of Commodity Week. The hot, dry weather in the southern plains has the market nervous. Will wheat futures continue to rally? And how far and how long can a short U.S. wheat crop hold up what today remains a potential bin buster of a corn crop? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today include Aaron Curtis of Midco from Bloomington, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
When Dan Zwicker told us he was moving to Louisiana, we thought, hey, let's go see him. Actually, that we had to go see where he works. So Will Ag's putting together a five-day bus tour in August. Yes, we know you might be combining corn. We'll see. Should be about $800, but you get two nights stay in the French Quarter with nothing to do but play, a night at the casinos in Tunica, and one on Beale Street in Memphis. Hey, vacation or business? The business part will include a tour of CGB Enterprises Rail and River Terminal on the Ohio River, its export facility in Louisiana, and stops to see Dan Zwicker and John Bondurant. We're working on a fertilizer import facility tour, too. If you'd like to learn more, look under the photo of Dave and me at willag.org. Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. The corn crop, it's about 3 weeks ahead, and so is the weather in our part of the world. Why so serious, then, about the heat and the dryness? We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel.
Well, it's a perception of long-term effects. If you do look at the drought monitor, there are some pockets that are extremely dry, and if that pattern continues, it could be devastating if it's in your area. Also, too, I think it's more a spillover from the world situation, too. When you look at Russia, China, they're experiencing some problems, too. But you combine that with the wheat situation, and it gave the trade reason to be buyers going home late last week.
Aaron Curtis?
Yeah, I think more of a wheat follower than anything, Todd. I think we're still going to show crop ratings on Monday around 70%, so that's you know, pretty good for this time of year. I mean, it you know, right around the five-year average, maybe even a little better. But I think it's probably too early in my book, I think, to get too excited. Although, you know, you do drive around the country and you see bean planters rolling around Illinois, you do see a lot of dirt flying. So it is a little on the dry side, especially on top. There has been some talks, maybe some beans in some dry dirt at this point. But I think we have to get a little farther into June before we get too excited about it.
And Wayne Nelson.
Can we say we got to the bean party late, not watching the weather from South America, and we're watching it a lot closer now because of the way the bean yields ended up down there? You know, we're looking over, we're going out looking in Kansas, and we're seeing some of the wheat that the Kansas State agronomist said that was going to be 60 when they did the wheat tour, and now it's coming in under 40. And we're seeing, of course, the Sokovi winds blowing over in Russia and the activity over there, and where they might cut off some of their things. And let's remember, we said a lot of wheat was going to make up for our shortfall of old crop corn. Might not be there.
July wheat this week had a high of $6.97.5 in Chicago, a low at $5.92. Its settlement price up 98.25 cents in the harvest month at $6.95.25, and the July of 2013 at $7.40.25, up 64.75 cents. How much more upside in the potential is the potential for the wheat market? And we were having a discussion in the office late this afternoon about when things really break out. They've been breaking out late for the wheat. So after they shut down the export market a couple of years ago, after the spring wheat had disappeared more than that a few years ago, we're ahead of the schedule this time around.
Yeah, we are. Can we say, are the funds out yet? The funds were big shorts in this, and they were running for the door, and the door was narrow. And that's what's happened here this last week, Todd.
Does that mean that this will drop back out fairly quickly if the funds went for the door? Will we calm that market down?
Well, I think you're going to have to continue to watch the weather. If we don't see much relief in that Russia-Ukraine area and the southern plains continue to stay on the dry side, we're going to see crop ratings fall again Monday afternoon for wheat, and that's going to continue to offer a little support, but it's going to come down to where we go on the weather here in the next couple weeks.
July corn for the week, $6.38.5, the high, the low at $5.76.25. A settlement price up 54.25 cents, Kurt, $6.35.5 was the final for the day. December futures at $5.37, up 31.75 in the new crop corn. We expired the maize. Will the July, December continue to move higher?
Well, we're above where May went off in the July. The July's taken charge here. We'll see as when the July goes off if December comes on up. But we're at a point now, going home Friday, we're up against some resistance levels. Wheat helped pull the corn up through to this area, so we'll see what the news is first part of next week. But we changed this whole scenario dramatically here. We've got a shorter crop wheat. Wheat's going higher here. We'll probably deter wheat feeding. So the dynamics have changed. All the supply-demand balance sheets are moving targets now. Analysts are going to go crazy here from here on out trying to adjust acres, yield, demand. This is a dynamic market in the workings here, and it's going to be some roller coaster between now and this fall.
Okay, so put this in context for me. When we talked with Jerry Bange last weekend, the WASD numbers, we changed this year's ending stocks from 801 to 851, so only 50 million bushels. That's not much of an offset in the swing for wheat feeding for the summer. Do we really have to get that worried?
Well, if you're a buyer, you're probably worried because the mentality right now as a producer, we've got a bull market going. It doesn't matter if you have 100 million bushel carryout or 3 billion bushel carryout. Producer right now is in a holding pattern. He's going to hold tight until he sees what type of production number he has. But the whole numbers have shifted in through here. The early crop's going to have to come in here to offset some of that. But with the wheat going higher here, you're just going to see a whole lot of changes.
Yeah, I think the number people are throwing around is somewhere in that 350 to almost 400 million bushels of wheat that's going to of corn that's going to be replaced by wheat, and then you know the billion bushel number we talk about in August as far as some early harvested. We did see some fairly active producer selling today, actually, in some of our locations, telling us that they've it's about the second or third highest cash price that they've seen since fall. So farmers are taking a little bit of notice. Now we need to compare that to the fact that, you know, over the last couple of months, the elevator just hasn't bought a lot of grain. So we do get busy. The phone does ring, but you compare that to nothing. So it feels busier, but we are starting to see some producers take notice.
So that was spot month or new crop sales?
That was old crop.
Old crop. And what is your bid? What was it?
Well, the elevator, I mean, it depends on what location you are throughout Illinois, but it was fairly consistent throughout the state, you know, back above that, into that 650, 670 area, depending on what your basis is at your location.
Was it a good sale?
Was it a good sale?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we get back up like that, I think it's very good. The one thing we have to look at, Todd, is, you know, will it get better? We don't know. It's a big gamble. It's getting back up to it's very profitable. So it's time to get rid of the old crop and start worrying about the new crop. We've done that a long time ago in Indiana. We don't have corn in the bin over there. The ethanol plants have used most of it up, and all that we have in our area that we know of any volume is farmers that have already contracted their corn for later delivery. I mean, they might have 50,000 bushel out there, but there's 25 to deliver next month and 25 during the month of July. So, you know, there isn't a lot of corn in our area.
How worried are you about Europe and its economy folding in the next few weeks?
Probably not as worried as I am about the prices because we talk about it daily. I think that Greece is going to come around at the last minute. They can't afford to just pull out of the European Union and all the finance it has. You know, if they can't get that money in those loans, how do they run their liberal government that pays everybody?
Well, as a producer, I think it's more of a long-term effect. I think the weather trumps Greece right at the present time.
Yeah, I'd agree with Wayne. I think it's probably going to continue to be in the outset of markets. You know, if we have slow news days, we're still going to go back to what crude oil and what the dollar's doing. But overall, like Kurt said, I think we're going to focus more on the fundamentals here in the United States.
If we're focusing on fundamentals and weather, I wonder why it is that July futures in the bean pit were down a penny on the week. At $14.05, their high was $14.50, low at $13.76. November beans at $13.24 and a quarter were down $33 and a quarter, and they're suffering the same sorts of weather that the corn and the wheat might be, although they're not quite offsetting in terms of the feed. Yet we have a very short crop coming out of South America.
Oh, it's spread activity, where you saw the funds probably take charge here and buy corn, sell beans, buy wheat, sell beans. But two, the sell-off being fund-related, we're a little bit related to the world news. Energy, crude oil, down to $91 a barrel. So I think we look at the volume and open interest come Monday morning. Once again, we're going to see some liquidation out of the huge long position they built here over the last 3 months.
Soy complex?
Couple things, Todd. Now, if you want to get into the fundamentals, we saw that China is now in negative crush margins at the moment, and that they're going to auction off quite a few beans next Thursday over there to their processors for a while, so they can back out of the market for a little while here. They're very smart marketers. They're doing a little of this now, trying to knock the price down, because we were getting pretty pricey on these beans, and if they can take the 50 cents more out of these beans, I bet they'd be back in the market rather fast.
Producers sold old crop in corn today. They considered new crop. Should they consider new crop soybean sales?
Yeah, I think out of the field, if you can get something near these levels, I think you got to continue to reward the market. We have seen some active producer selling as far as new crop the last couple months, and if you haven't got to a point where you feel comfortable as far as new crop sales moving forward, I think you got to continue to reward the bean market.
No, I agree. I think you got to continue to be a seller here, especially in the up days. We go ahead and get some timely moisture, and we cool the weather concerns down quite a bit. There is still quite a bit of downside risk.
Live cattle this week had a high of 119.60, a low of 115.10. Settlement price there was up $4.37.5 at 119.52.5. The feeders at 151.30, up $1.60. The cattle and feed numbers were out on Friday afternoon, and placements were pretty shy.
Yeah, placements were shy. Marketings were aggressive there. It feels like the trade, we've warded off the mad cow concern here. Traditionally here, we see a little demand come into the marketplace here. Fundamentals are looking back positive. Technically, we got a beautiful head and shoulders chart bottom formation there, so the technical action is positive here for a while.
Can you, when you draw that out, where does it take it?
I didn't measure that, Todd.
He saw the head and shoulder. Oh, that's all right. We'll just go to the charts and we can measure it on our own. It's perfectly fine. Lean hogs, 87.80 on the top, the bottom at 84.95, a settlement price at $87.42.5. They were up $2.12.5. One final topic for the week, and I kind of want each of you to take this up and give me your thoughts on what will happen and what this might do to the marketplace. It appears we're going to go not to a 22-hour trading day, but a 21-hour trading day. There'll be a pause from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock daily, and that's pretty much across the board. Good, bad, indifferent kind of thing for the market.
Well, it depends what they do with the crop report. The crop report comes out during that trading period. We'll see extreme volatility develop right ahead and right after that report. But if they move the crop report to that period where it's closed, I think it'll probably be business as usual.
Well, Todd, I think twofold, I guess, for the elevator side. I think there was some concern about trading markets until 4 o'clock in the afternoon due to the fact that you want some downtime in there to kind of close your books and kind of get things settled. On the other hand, the longer trading you can see during the day allows elevators to lay off that risk as opposed to carrying that stuff until the overnight markets open. So kind of twofold. I think the elevator side, like Kurt mentioned, the reports is still something to work out, but this 2 to 5 closing period is going to be beneficial for them.
don't understand why we have to do it. I don't know that there's going to be any more hedging going on, any more business except for speculative trade. The market was set up for farmers and commercials to spread off their risk, and it just seems like maybe they're getting a little greedy in Chicago.
You're listening to Commodity Week. This is the May 18th edition. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. If you'd prefer to use your smartphone, you can do that. No www in front of this one. It's M, stands for mobile, m.willag.org. Commodity Week is posted there as well. In just a couple minutes, we'll return and we'll talk with Jerry Gulkey of the Gulkey Group. He's in Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. It was a quiet week in Illinois with only a few showers in the northern half of the state and no rain in the southern half. Average high temperatures for the week range from the low 80s in southern Illinois to the 70s in the rest of the state. Average lows for the week range from the 50s in southern Illinois to the upper 40s in central and northern Illinois. Temperatures are expected to be above normal over the weekend and through next week. Highs will be in the 80s across much of Illinois and even into the 90s in far southern Illinois. There is a chance of rain on Sunday night and Monday, but expected rainfall amounts are fairly modest, just a few tenths of an inch in most places. The new June outlook from the National Weather Service calls for an increased chance of above normal temperatures, but only in the southern part of the state. The same is true for the three-month forecast for June, July, and August, above normal temperatures south of I-70. The rest of the state has equal chances of temperatures being above, below, or near normal over the summer. In other words, they're not sure which way it will go. The concern right now is that the pattern of warmer and drier than normal conditions that we've seen so far this year will continue into summer. I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the May 18 edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and Aaron Curtis from Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. On the phone line is Jerry Gulkey, the president of the Gulkey Group. They're based in Chicago, Illinois, but this afternoon he's in a spray coop. Well, maybe not in a spray coop, but he's spraying, I suppose, corn. Are you in northern Illinois somewhere, Jerry, at this time?
Yes, just about a mile and a half, I guess, from the Rockford city limits, not too far from the airport. And I am in a spray coop, and the air conditioning doesn't work, so I drive with the window open in the middle of May, and that's quite something.
Is it dusty?
I'm spraying no-till corn into strip tilling and last year's beans, so the ground is not that bad, but anything that's been tilled, you know, is can kick up the dust. But really, you know, I think this is not a bad situation for corn or beans if you if we get the rain later on, because you want the roots to go down. So this is, you know, about as good as it was bad last year, I think, in my mind. So, but we don't want too much of this, because then eventually it's going to have an effect.
Well, Jerry, you mentioned weather. What's your outlook here, and is it starting to be a factor?
Well, I tell you, we listen to a lot of people like everybody else, you know, Ellen Taylor and Drew Lerner, and we also in our office area we have QT Weather, which Alan Moto does. And we did a conference in Palm Springs in February, and then again in Chicago in March. And he's been pretty consistent with the fact, and kind of warned me, and I've kind of done my marketing that way. He said, you're going to not have a problem getting the crop in, but there's going to be some concerns in later May and in June, and then the rains should come just in time for the July rains. And however, today he did issue a report that says I'm getting more than just average concern with how the pattern is setting up for the summer weather. And so this is the most concerned I've heard him. Otherwise, it's been pretty much in line with the macro stuff. It seems to be better than the day-to-day things. But so now we figured we have this kind of a situation coming sometime in the end of May and into June. But I guess I would have to say I would get concerned in another couple weeks of this. And if we don't get any rain this weekend, then you kind of get a feeling that the rains come and they predict a half to an inch and a half, and you get a quarter to a half, and the atmosphere dries it up. So it's hard once you get everything dried, you know, to get it to get the moisture near to get these showers. So he also said that northern North Dakota, where my daughter is with her husband up in Minot, finishing planting up there, that possibly along the Canadian border, they could get 5 inches of rain in the next week to 10 days. And I guess it's pretty welcome up there, but you got to wonder whether you're not going to end up with some of that planted stuff back into the potholes again like we had last year.
Jerry, what was your view of the USDA's 166 yield they came out with last week?
I wasn't surprised. We kind of thought they would up at least 2 bushels. And if you go back in history, any time that they've had this kind of planting progress, and I've met with Jerry Norton and Bangy in Washington a couple of times, and they will readily tell you that if your planting progress is over 40% by May 5th, the odds are pretty good you're going to get average to above average yields, and we were above that. And when we've had those conditions in years past, they've had a tendency to raise them because of what the situation is currently at that time. And but I doubt they'll raise them in June or July, you know, unless we get really good rains in the meantime. But I wasn't surprised with that, and we were not surprised with the stocks report. There's been a lot of, I think, misgivings and about the stocks and the uses of corn and the fact that we got tight supplies. We went into the crop report heavily sold, probably well into 2012 and 13. And my daughter and I were on CNBC the day before the report, and the day before the report, and mentioned that we felt it was going to be bearish, and it was. But now that was then, and this is now, and we elected to accept some risk down here, and probably have eliminated all our futures position Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, just because it was too early to get that bearish now with the crop report out of the way, and also the weather coming.
Jerry, if you're a farmer out here and don't have things sold, what price are you looking for Dease corn to get back to start making some sales?
We have people call us daily now asking us, well, we didn't sell anything, what do you think now? And my comment is, you need to go back to last September and all that time since and ask yourself, why was it that I didn't plant something, and what was the rationale sell something, why I didn't sell back then when prices were a lot higher, and then ask yourself, has anything changed? And of course, when the market fell apart, we got a lot of calls. On the market's on the way up, nobody calls. Everybody's an expert marketer then. But I think, we have a lot of things that have turned technically, and I think you need to let this thing go and to see how high it will go. I heard a lot of talk about, $6 again. But I tell you, if it stays dry, and one of the gentlemen mentioned the situation about wheat, we have farmers in Kentucky, and we beg them to go out in the field, because when it frosted down there in the softer vine wheat area, I raise wheat in North Dakota, I know what happens to some degree, and it was flowering at that stage, and the crops didn't look like they got hurt, but I said, if you're flowering in that stage, you could very well have hurt that berry, so to speak. And now we're getting calls. Earlier this week, they finally went out and walked the fields and did some scouting, and they're saying, if we get 35 to 50% of what we thought, we're going to be happy. And of course, the farmer may be too negative. But again, today we asked another 5,000 acre wheat farmer, and he said, if I get a half a crop, I'm going to be happy. And he said, based on what I see, and I've got 85% of my crop cash marketed. They had nothing to do with really futures and options because of all the volatility and demand, financial, global, and so forth. So now they're stuck with cash sales. And wheat, as we know, when it turns basically for no good reason when it does it. And it will go a lot higher or a lot lower than what you perceive. And this is pretty interesting because, like one of the gentlemen said, it takes away the incentive to feed wheat. And that's pretty serious when it comes to corn.
When you were talking to that corn or that wheat producer, were they east or west of the Mississippi River, meaning soft red or hard red, and how much of a difference does it make which crop it is?
Well, soft red rather wheat, it was in the Kentucky area. We talked to an agronomist today in Kansas, and I never expected a problem there other than being dry. And he said, this isn't about the drought that we have a problem. He said, this frost that we had in wheat country, hard wheat and soft wheat, he said, is much more extensive, the damage or the effect, he said, than most people think right now. So that's one man's opinion. It is dry in parts of Kansas, and our clients there are telling us we've got rain coming. We better get this rain, otherwise you can take the tops off of the high end. And we're hearing the same thing with harvesting at the starts of Texas that, you know, it all really looked good. They had us all primed for, you know, and I thought probably a record crop in the U.S. And then once they get in the field, they're finding it's not quite as good. So that'll probably feed on itself all the way to in Nebraska. And then in South Dakota, they're saying it's a good wheat crop. North Dakota's got an excellent winter wheat crop. And the spring wheat is off to a good start. However, I find it hard to find anybody that wanted to plant spring wheat. I think there's more beans and corn, and maybe even a half a million less acres of wheat, if not a million acres less of spring wheat than we think.
We've heard the same thing in northern Kansas, southern Nebraska there. This rain event coming up now is real critical, go and make a break then. But if we do miss the rain, they do miss the rain here, how high do you think wheat could go then?
Well, you know, wheat's already gone a dollar. I wouldn't doubt that it goes another dollar, a dollar and a half. It has a tendency to move beyond what seems reasonable, and especially now that the world was depending upon on the wheat crop. If you notice, the government even mentioned that wheat stocks were going to drop worldwide because of wheat feeding. You've got those problems in Russia and in Eastern Europe also lowered their wheat production. I think it affected canola in some cases, and that, of course, is being grown in Canada and here. But all those oil seeds, I'm not so sure, as I'm real excited about being more than half sold in that new crop wheat or new crop soybeans, and just till we see what happens in August. But it's hard to tell how high it is, but I would say I would challenge you to go back to 2007. We had a similar situation where we were going to bury the world in wheat, and then we had a crop problem. My new son-in-law then was harvesting wheat in Kansas and Oklahoma, and he said they didn't even unload combines in some places. We're not at that effect. But then wheat went up about 50%. We were around $4.50. We went to $6.50. So I think in these volatile times, you know, if we could go up a dollar a bushel like we did this week, I don't think you've let all the shorts out. And they were, you know, if it wouldn't be for spread trading and the Board of Trade, I don't know, they might have to shut down. But everybody was spreading, sell the wheat, buy the beans, sell the wheat, buy the corn. And they sold wheat and bought everything else. And now they've got to run for cover, as you mentioned.
Real quickly, Jerry, how much corn do you think the old crop corn producer still has left?
More than I anticipated. We get calls from people who had it hedged, and here's where it really worked. They hedged the corn instead of cash contracting it, and of course the hedge went down in price and the basis went up. And so one guy called me and said, I got 400,000 bushels of corn left, and I didn't think he had any. And he said, what should I do? I said, sell it. You know, you've got a 50-cent recovery in basis. There's more out there than we think, I believe. And also, I think we're going to see probably more than the tune of 900 million carry out by the time we get to August 30th. Because we've broken ground for that end user to use a lot to find substitutes. We warned them for quite a while now we're going to run out of corn.
Hey, Jerry, thank you so much.
You bet.
Good luck spraying. Jerry Gulkey is with the Gulkey Group. He's in Chicago, Illinois, in the northern part of the state, spraying corn this afternoon. On our panel in studio today, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, Aaron Curtis of Midco from Bloomington, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. You can always find Commodity Week online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.